Let's open with the word of prayers. We come around the word of God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your truth. Lord, you are speaking to your people. And Lord, we know that you have a people upon whom your name is called and that you have reserved unto you people. Lord, we thank you for that. And we see and know that you want to have your gospel preached in this nation. We thank you, Lord, for that. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, this morning, when we come to the Word of God and we see that the Word in the Bible talks about hearing the Word of God, we know that's not just talking about listening with your ears sound, but we know that's talking about receiving in your heart. So the title of the message is Healing and Salvation Blessings, and it's all related to hearing the Word of God. And let's look at Deuteronomy 28. In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 28, and when you're there in Deuteronomy 28, you'll know that if you were to read the chapter, that it was part of the law that Moses gave from God, which was describing, here's the law of God, now these are going to be the results of it. It's not just, well, here's the law, now do it. He's saying that there's an important component in obedience or how your life's going to be, the blessing coming in, and that's, first of all, to know and to receive the word. And we see here in Deuteronomy 28, it says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. So, first of all, did God fail in getting his word to his people? Now, God was powerful enough to get his word to his people. So, we can see in this, God has given his word. And so that's the first thing you can tell straight away. And the second thing is, God says, doing this word, so it's hearing it and doing it, brings blessings. It's very easy to understand that that's what he's talking about. He's talking about observing to do all his commandments. And the result of that, in verse 2, it says, and all these blessings shall come on thee. So this is very straightforward. God's given his word, and he's saying if you do his word, there's blessings in that. So what are the steps in actually doing the word? Well, the first thing you would have to do is, as the word of God is there, you would have to open your heart and receive it. And the Bible uses that word hearing to describe that, or here it says the word hearken, which is a form of word describing hearing. But it's not just hearing, as I said, with your ears. You know, you can hear the radio on in the background somewhere when you're shopping or something. That's just sound in the background. And people can hear things all around the place. But the hearing that we're talking about here is the hearing where you're receiving the message that's being communicated, and you're receiving it in your heart, and it is, as we'll see, like seed coming in, and it's going to bring a result in your life. We'll see that in just a minute. But let's look now in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 5, and what we're going to see in Luke chapter 5 is that Jesus was not a traveling magician that attracted crowds through entertainment and amusements, and people were coming there just so they could, well, you know, this man is coming doing all these things and we can have an entertainment time. On that basis, by the way, you would say that coming together on Sunday morning is not for the purpose of entertainment at church. It is, in fact, for spiritual nourishment. And the result should be the blessing. And the blessing, if you were to read it in Deuteronomy chapter 28, you would see it's about things being right in your life. peacefulness, good things happening, prosperousness, all these good things. So that they're the fruits. But as you see in Luke chapter 5, we'll start from verse 15. It says, "But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities." Now, you can think, well, if Jesus was here, we could have a great show and we could call it Revival Healing Meeting, guest star Jesus Christ, and yeah, that would be really great. But the Bible is talking about something else. He's saying, number one, it is not relying on the physical presence of Jesus for us today to have a healing or to have any kind of blessing in our life. Because Jesus wasn't there at the time of Moses, and yet Moses laid out the way for the blessing in your life. And what was the way? He said, "Hearken diligently unto the, you know, the voice and to the word of God." So he's telling us, doing what the Bible says, receiving it, hearing it, that's the way for blessing. Now here in Luke chapter 5 and verse 15, people were spreading around and saying, you know, there's this man, Jesus. Did people just come there for an entertainment show? Well, you see right straight away why they came to Jesus and what was the important component. It says there in verse 15, halfway through the verse, it says, "And great multitudes came together to hear." So notice that hearing was the first reason why people came to Jesus. It wasn't, "I'm coming to Jesus because there's people falling over and laughing and it's all in the spirit and we're having a great time and all this. And if we run a show like this, a service where people are having miracles, then that's what's going to attract the lost and that's the solution." No, it's not the solution. The Bible shows the solution right here, and in fact tells us in Romans chapter 1 what the solution is. It's the gospel of Christ itself, which first comes in a message. In fact, if you were to study it out, Acts chapter 10 verse 38 tells us once again, Jesus came preaching peace. So he came preaching, and then it shows what the message was he preached, and then it shows what he did, which came out of the message which he preached, which was to deliver the sick and preach salvation, basically. So as you would study it out, you would see Jesus came in the synagogue, he'd open the book, he'd preach, then people would either believe or not believe what he said, and if they believed, what happened? There would be great works. If they didn't believe what he said and they got offended, maybe a few people might get healed, but mainly people would try to kick him out or throw him off the edge of a hill. That's the response, not just for any reason, but it's a spiritual response, and it's a response based on whether or not they were accepting the word itself. So they came, those multitudes, to hear, as it says there in verse 15, and the result of hearing, and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So it's not just Jesus touched the people and that was it. No, they heard what he said, and then as well, of course, there was people touching and great miracles were happening as well. But it wasn't just the miracles. It was he was preaching the word and he was giving a message. And in that, then, there was lots of miracles and people knew and they could come and touch him and so on. Verse 16, "And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed." So what was attracting the crowds there anyway? It wasn't Jesus going around and publishing flyers and, you know, hiring people to blow a trumpet in a town and put on a big show and say, "Jesus is coming next week, you know, get ready," whatever. Notice what he was doing. He withdrew himself and prayed. So prayer was, in fact, a key behind the Holy Ghost bringing people together to come and hear and to be healed. Verse 17, and it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching. Wasn't Jesus just busy doing miracles? Jesus was teaching. So understanding the doctrine of the Bible or of the scripture was important. In fact, so important to Jesus that his primary thing was to teach. That there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which would come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. If Jesus hadn't been teaching, we can see straight away the power to heal would not have been present, because the word was there. Now, of course, what was the kind of attitude of these Pharisees? Were they accepting the word that Jesus was saying? Many of them were not, were they? Many of them were within themselves murmuring and getting offended and so on. You can read about it, you can see it straight away. These Pharisees were putting a blockage between receiving any healing in their life by having doubt allowed in their heart and offence and rejecting the words spoken to them by Jesus. So, of course, the lesson to us is that we should receive the word with meekness, the engrafted word. Let's also look in another verse in the next chapter, chapter 6, we'll start from verse 17. Luke 6:17. And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. The crowds came to hear Jesus. So the primary focus of the foundation of what he was on about was, you need to understand something, and what you need to understand is, this is what the scripture says. Okay, so that was the primary role of what he was doing, and on that basis, everyone could get healed of their diseases, and devils were cast out, and there was great healings. And as a result of that as well, verse 19 says, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. That miracle, or these miracles, are not isolated like Jesus walked in the place, people touched him, boom, and they all got healed. No, it was first and prerequisite that there was the hearing of the preaching that he gave. You see? So it's not just Jesus has this power and we can get healed. It's you have to understand the message of the Old Testament, which is also in the New Testament, which is God has healing for you, receive the word of God on healing, and as you receive that and know that he has done it, now we know because Jesus already has died for us, received the stripes already now, and also rose from the dead already, then it's already a bought and paid for thing. It's accomplished for us, and it's given to us as a promise in the New Testament even for the church. And on that basis then, there's a healing for you, there's healing for any person in the body of Christ. So unless you understood something of that, it will be quite unusual for people just to get a healing with no knowledge of it. You see, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You need to have some level of faith in ordinary circumstances. We're talking about believers receiving. And you can't have faith without hearing, and you can't have hearing unless you actually do hear. So you have to have that opened up heart. And there's a big issue. Let's look in Mark chapter 4. We'll go through Mark chapter 4, part of Mark chapter 4. There's a big issue to do with the state of your heart and hearing to receive the healing and salvation benefits. Mark chapter 4. Again, Jesus comes. Is he coming just zapping people by putting his hand on them or running an entertainment program? No, he has a teaching ministry. So it's very important to see that Jesus had a teaching or a word explaining ministry so that the people could hear something and believe something. So it's not just, he's not just saying, well, I'll just say some random words out of the Old Testament. You know, I could read the genealogy of the children of Ishmael, the dukes of, and so on, and or the Edomites or something like that. Well, that's not going to help people very much if they're not understanding something of the message of what the Old Testament is saying when you teach particularly a particular message, such as what Jesus was presenting to them, which was about God bringing healing and salvation and that the kingdom of God was at hand. And as you know that, then you'll know that he was taking particular verses. In fact, there's proof for this in Luke 4, verse 18. There's proof of it where he specifically turned to a particular passage. So it wasn't just like, oh, I'm going to preach the word and talk about the Chaldeans or something. No, he was specifically saying particular things so they could understand, and as they understood that, that meant they were hearing, and that hearing was the foundation for them now for faith to start growing in their hearts, and they were believing, and miracles of healing, deliverances were happening to the point where every single person in a whole crowd was getting healed, which is amazing and wonderful. Chapter 4 of Mark says, "And he began to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land." So Jesus sitting in a ship and everyone sitting on the beach. Verse 2, "And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine." Now that word doctrine means he's teaching, expounding, he's bringing up the word of God, and he's saying it because what he wants them to do is understand. So he wasn't telling a parable to try and make it confusing, like, I'm going to tell you a parable, and the people were going, oh, and they're all confused. He was telling it in a parable so that, and we know in the New Testament time now, in the time of the Holy Ghost outpouring, that those parables are all there to explain things so that you can understand it in this parable form, some concept of the kingdom of God. Like, oh, I can understand how God thinks about a lost person because he's like that father who cared for his son that went off and then finally came back. Or, you know, you can have an illustration and it points to you a picture of what God is like, or how to act in a certain way in a certain circumstance, or what a person should do in the kingdom of God and how the kingdom of God works. In other words, it's showing the way that the kingdom works. So there's a principle in the kingdom of God about, there's this thing called a seed, and seed, when you put it in the ground, seed doesn't need something to make it work, it just works by itself. And Jesus explained that to us in verse 3. He said, "Hearken." And why did he say that? Jesus wasn't just, you know, have a drum roll and make ready the crowd and then say, boom, hearken, and it's just the opening line of his, you know, eloquent presentation or something. Now, he's saying words for a reason, isn't he? He's telling them, listen, take heed what I'm going to say now. And then he begins to illustrate and speak forth to them. And he told them a parable. He said, "Behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Another fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now, did Jesus just say that as a saying? You know, it's like a motto or something? He's saying, having ears to hear. He's not talking about, oh, we can all hear sound. No, he's talking about having an inner man ear ready to receive of this, because we know, according to what it told us in Deuteronomy, if you hearken diligently unto the word, to the law of God, to the voice of God, if you listen and obey the word, observe to do what he commanded, the results are blessing. So if you live out what it says to do, things will be well in your life. That's pretty much what it comes down to. That's what he's saying. So he's saying, now I want you to understand that there is this idea of a sower sowing and some seeds. See, seeds always work. So the problem isn't the seeds. Can we agree on that? According to this parable, the sower did his duty. You know, God himself has sent forth the seed. So the problem isn't that. So the issue then is, how do you receive this seed? What kind of ground is there? The problem is, some ground is not suitable to receive seed because of the hardness of the ground. And then there's some ground that have got weeds in it. And of course, there was some ground that was so bad it was like on concrete. But there was also good ground. So what he'll illustrate to us now, and as we read, we'll see that he'll explain that it's about how you receive the word of God. And let's look at that. Verse 10. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Now, that's not saying he was intentionally trying to darken the sense, and when he was talking to the crowds, he was just doing it and no one understood what he was saying. No, that's not what it's saying. He's saying that there's people outside of the kingdom of God won't get it, and they'll think they can't understand it because they're not of a nature ready to receive or hear. But what he's showing us is there is, of course, people that were ready to hear. In fact, the proof of it is in the New Testament. There wouldn't have been the healings there were in the New Testament if the crowds had not received the word of God to start with. So there must have been a receiving and for those healings to have taken place. Nevertheless, there are people, and have been people, who are against the kingdom of God and are without the kingdom of God, and to them it's just a parable. And in fact, that's exactly what people like atheists and that will say, that it's just stories, parables, as in it has no real meaning or real value to them. It's just a parable, or they're not ready to receive the full truth of what we're really talking about, which is having the inner man hear, ear ready to hear and to receive, because of course people like that would not want to hear and would want any excuse not to hear. So here we see in verse 12, he says that seeing they may see and not perceive. He's not talking about perception in the natural sense, because anyone can look and perceive things. He's talking about spiritual perception. He says, and hearing they may hear and not understand. Again, he's talking about a spiritual condition of people that are not ready to receive the word of God. Lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. So he's talking about, because they're not ready to receive the word of God, their hearts are not ready to receive, they can't have a change in their lives, and there's no healing for them. So it's blocking them actually from the blessing of salvation and healing benefits by having a heart not ready to receive and not ready to hear the word of God. Verse 13, and he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? The sower soweth the word. So this is the basic principle that explains what this parable was about. But it shows really how all the parables work, and also that the kingdom of God is based on this idea that the sower soweth the word. God has sent sowers. The word is present. So the issue isn't whether or not the word is present, because it is present. So that's resolved. The sower has sown and there is sowing. Verse 15, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. So it's talking about what kind of heart do you have? Do you receive the word of God or don't you receive the word of God? Here he's saying there's people that won't. They'll hear it and straight away they'll let go of it because it was stolen out of their hearts. 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. It's a short burst, though, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. So here we see that the attack of Satan, or the strategy of Satan, is all about making sure that he can hinder anything to do with that word being effective in someone's life. Because he can't actually stop the word itself from working. That's completely out of his control. But he's in a position where he can speak to people and try and make an environment where people will be of a condition where they won't receive the word that's present. Which means then that you could have the best preaching in the world going on, and if people just listen to it, have the greatest breakthroughs, and yet have whole crowds of people not receiving anything because of a blindness that's there in their hearts. So the problem isn't the word, the problem is the condition of their hearts. In other words, they're not receiving, they're not willing to receive. Verse 18, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. It's not that the word of God itself is unfruitful, it's unfruitful in their lives. And that's the whole issue. People who let other things in their lives, well, that's not a neutral thing, is it? There's a war going on, and it has to be one or the other. Your ground, either your heart is going to ultimately be producing the fruits of the word of God, or it's going to be producing the fruits of the other things. So it's a battle then. And many people who are in that condition of the thorns and thistles, well, it's going one way. It's going towards the multiplying of the thorns and the thistles. It's not going towards where the word of God will come to fruit and change. And there needs to be a complete hearing change in those people's heart where they're going to hear one thing, not go between two or waver between multiple things. Verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it. So hearing it means it went in. Receiving it means they've held on to it, retaining it, and bring forth fruit. Now, that's not always an instant thing, is it? You know that seeds themselves require a period of time before they come to the full fruit of that plant when it's grown up. So there's a time element here. There's an enduring element. We know that because some of the other issues were to do with not enduring. Receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So there's different levels of fruitfulness of people who are fruitful. Verse 21, and he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. So the hearing ears is about your inner man, ears ready to hear. Verse 24 says, and he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. Now, what he's talking about here is not just, well, I could hear something bad, or, you know, I could pay attention to bad things on TV, or, you know, listen to wrong gossip, or pay attention to general things around in the world, negative news or whatever. He's not just talking about that. And that's, of course, an issue where people are listening to the wrong things. But when he said, take heed what ye hear, he said, with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that here shall more be given, what he talks about really is about to what degree do you receive what you hear from God. So it's not just, oh, make sure you're hearing the right thing, but it's you as the controller over how much you hear yourself. Because there is a choice involved, there's a willingness to receive or not receive that's in your heart, a willingness of how much you'll receive from God. Which means the Word of God can be coming fully and true before you, and yet you can choose not to receive it. And so the choice there, and that's what he's warning against, take heed what you hear, the choice there is you chose not to act and receive on what you heard. That's very bad. So the good measure is to receive fully and to do fully what has come to you. And it's very important to understand that, not just, oh, don't pay attention to bad things and only listen to good, but also that you have this element in you, and you'll see the other verses that talk about this in the other Gospels, in Matthew and Luke, that it is about what measure that you are receiving of the things of God, which have a direct correlation to then this idea of 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold, which means that as a Christian, you can make a choice and be going forward in your fruitfulness. Not just, oh, I am a fruitful Christian. You can actually increase in your fruitfulness as a Christian by being more receptive and going forward in growth in that. And that's important to understand as well. Verse 25, for he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath.